From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. Both of Juneau's Perseverance access trails and portions of Basin Road have been blocked by snow and debris. As KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports, it's the result of a series of slides in the area.
Sally Schlichting is a Juneau resident and frequent Perseverance Trail hiker. She says she and her husband walked up there a few days ago to see the aftermath of a recent landslide.
It's taken out the Ebner Adit entrance.
That's an entrance to the Ebner Mine.
Or at least it's buried it, and it looks like it's undercut the trail on the way up to the overlook that kind of looks over Gold Creek and the basin and looks back towards the mining museum.
Schlichting says she's worried because the slide area is treacherous and so many people use it.
That'll have a big impact on people. You know, all the hikers, the runners, the mountain bikers, and people who go up to go backcountry skiing.
Juneau Emergency Programs Manager Tom Matisse says an avalanche covered the trail from the top down and a landslide started at the trail's edge.
The area is unstable, both with snow there that's concerned with trees and rocks and other things in it, as well as the trail has been undercut. Where the landslide pulled out, the trail is very, very narrow, and now it is a precarious snow ledge hanging over a big, large landslide area.
The area is not officially closed off, but Matisse says they're asking people to recognize that it's hazardous and stay away until it can be cleaned up. He says major maintenance needs to be done, but it's not safe to do it yet.
It's going to be a combination of snow melting away, but also not having a tremendous amount of rain. When you're working in and around a landslide area like that, you want to know that you're not just sitting on 8 inches of rain like we did from the last couple days.
Matisse says Juneau has seen some relatively large avalanches over the past few weeks. This path alone slid during the first week of January and then again this week.
To have two avalanches in that period of time that are both notable in size is something. To see it come all the way down to Basin Road, that's the first time I've seen that in quite some time.
Those events aside, midweek conditions are fairly good, and Juneau's avalanche danger is moderate. More rain and snow is expected to hit later in the week, though, so Matisse says conditions could change going into the weekend. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
Daily avalanche advisories are posted online at juneau.org/avalanche. You can also report slides you see at coastalakavalanche.org. Alaska's Polynesian community is collecting clothes, blankets, food, water filters, and money to send to Tonga after the islands were hit by a devastating tsunami nearly 2 weeks ago. Lucy Hansen is the president of the Polynesian Association of Alaska. Hansen is from Samoa, but says she's been hearing from the Tongan community in Anchorage about the devastation their friends and family are facing on the islands.
They were also told that they don't have homes to stay in, so they are sleeping outside under a tree, under a coconut tree, or wherever they can find shelter. So we're also asking for those camping tents, you know, like a shelter that they or canopies that we can be able to ship back home.
People can donate money directly to the Polynesian Association. Hansen says that money will be used to buy the most needed items.
We have a Tongan family here that are currently contacting with their families back home, and they find out what they really need. Then, you know, that money can go to purchase those stuff and send it straight down there to them.
Hansen says the association was hoping the military would help move items to Tonga as soon as Wednesday, but that plan fell through. The group is now looking for a trucking company that can donate transportation costs to move a trailer with donated goods to the lower 48 as soon as possible and ship it to Tonga from there. And the U.S. Secretary of Commerce approved disaster designations for more than a dozen fisheries in Alaska. As KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports, it's the second time in the last 5 years that the Gulf of Alaska's cod fishery has been deemed a disaster by the federal government.
The latest disaster determination for the Gulf of Alaska's cod fishery is for the year 2020. The federal cod fishery was also closed that year, and the state's fishery stock was only a fraction of years past. To put it in perspective, state's fisheries biologist Nat Nichols gives some figures.
2017 in Kodiak, the cod quota was 12.2 million pounds.
He says that by 2020, the state cod quota had dropped to just 1.5 million pounds. The last time the Gulf of Alaska's cod fishery was given disaster status was back in 2018. In its latest list of disaster declarations, the Federal Commerce Department cited salmon fisheries from the Yukon River to Prince William Sound and the Eastern Bering Sea Tanner crab fishery. Most of the designations are for the year 2020. Carla Bush is a program manager with Fish and Game. She says it's unusual to see so many fishery disaster declarations in such a short time span.
And I think that was in response just to some of the unprecedented high temperatures that we saw both in the Gulf of Alaska and in the Bering Sea from about 2016-17 through 2018.
Once approved, it's up to Congress to decide if affected fishermen will receive payouts, and that can take time. Bush notes that funding for 2018's cod fishery disaster designation in the Gulf of Alaska has just started going out to skippers and crew who suffered losses. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
The International Longshore and Warehouse Union represents nearly 30,000 workers across the United States, about 140 of whom are in Unalaska Dutch Harbor. They are the dock workers, truck drivers, and crane operators who transport shipping containers on and off ships and trucks in the number one fishing port in the nation. And there's a problem. The union is about to lose many of those top skilled workers. KOCB's Theo Greenlee has the story.
Going to hoist up, make sure I'm high enough to get above that four-high box up there.
I'm sitting about 15 feet high in the cab of a top handler, or top pick. It's a large piece of machinery, sort of like a crane meets a forklift, designed to pick up huge shipping containers.
So I got a green light, means I'm locked and ready to lift.
Lila Roll has been in the Longshore Union since 2001, and today she's training to operate a top pick.
And then I double-check, make sure there's nobody behind me because we don't want to rely on the mirrors. And I back up just a little bit.
This training is important. It can take years to learn the prerequisite skills to finally learn to operate a top pick. And even then, it takes years to really get good at it. It's like that for many of the jobs in the union. The problem is, many of the top-skilled workers are leaving.
We've got quite a number of people now who are in their 60s and some that are even over the age of 70 who are still actively working and are fully skilled and will be retiring within the next year or year and a half, most likely.
Jeff Hancock is the vice president of the Alaska Longshore Division and is one of the top pick trainers. He says he's concerned about all of those retirements.
When you take a dozen or so people who are at the top, the most skilled people, out of the workforce that we have, that really leaves a big skills and experience gap.
The union is working to fill that gap. Hancock has spent the past several weeks training this new team of top pick operators. But after 2 weeks of intensive training, he says only two of the four trainees will pass the evaluation. And some of the higher level skills are even more difficult to fill.
I myself, I've been in this industry for 25 years. I basically have every skill except for gantry crane, and that training is offered based on seniority and some prerequisites and may still be 5 years out for me, at which time I'll be almost of retirement age.
Hancock says that while they're doing everything they can, the future looks uncertain.
Yeah, there is a gap, and there's going to continue to be a gap. I mean, it's going to take some years to get people to the level that we need them to be.
The people who weren't cleared to operate a top pick will get to continue training. And Hancock says that while Lila Roll is going to need a few more days of training, he's sure that she'll become a great top pick operator.
Yeah, I've actually referred to her as badass Lila Roll many times.
Reporting in Unalaska, I'm Theo Greenlee.
And in his fourth State of the State address on Tuesday evening, Governor Mike Dunleavy called on the legislature to pass bills to resolve permanent fund dividends, increase Alaskans' food security, and sell state land. And he urged lawmakers to prove people wrong who say nothing will get done in an election year.
Most Alaskans outside this room don't plan their lives around an election season. They plan their lives around hunting or fishing, construction season, or tourism season. But not an election season. Alaskans won't accept that we can't get anything done because it's an election year.
It was the first in-person address Dunleavy gave to a joint session since before the pandemic led to changes in safety rules in the Capitol. And at nearly an hour, it was his longest State of the State. Dunleavy said he envisioned a state where educational outcomes improve and people feel safer. He also described state efforts to increase the number of healthcare workers in the state, including plans to train more certified nursing assistants and registered nurses, as well as his proposal to increase the number of state-supported medical students from 20 to 30. Dunleavy said the state is at the mercy of others for its food, and he wants to increase the state's food security. That includes plans to start a food security task force and to sell state land for agriculture. Some of the legislation that Dunleavy described has already been introduced, but he says he would issue an executive order and introduce a bill to start the food security task force. This is KTOO News.